Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 again. We'll continue our thoughts. And if you're kind of jumped in on us in the middle of this, some things will bear repeating this morning, not everything. We would never get to the next step if we did that. But Ephesians chapter 5, we've been on this, the thoughts of marriage and how God has ordained all of this. And the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, in the context before that, he talks about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, what is this going to look like when we're being controlled as Christians by the Spirit of God? It's going to look like us doing what we just did. It's going to look like chapter 5, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That's what a Spirit-filled Christian is going to look like, for one thing. It's going to look like us giving thanks for all things and in everything. That's what it's going to look like. And it's going to look like, verse 21, that we're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. A Spirit-filled Christian, one who is enveloped by the Holy Spirit, controlled. His actions are being controlled by the Spirit of God living inside of him, who is very, very real, may I add. It's going to look like us submitting to one another. Because why? Because none of us are over or above one another in equality or dignity or value or worth. In other words, I have been given a specific role scripturally to be a pastor over you. That means I have a certain authority, but at the same time, I am equal to you and I am not more valuable than you are. It's just a different role that God has given me. And so what we see here is that the Spirit-filled Christian is going to be a man or a woman controlled by God, in a sense, that you find himself submitting to one another, caring for the burdens of one another, not prideful, not arrogant, but going to one another and meeting one another's needs in the flock, among the body of believers, using your gifts to be able to serve one another out of love, the Bible talks about. And then he's using the same word for submit, and he uses it all the way through, that every time he uses it, submit, the word submit, it's the same word that he uses in chapter 5, verse 21. And so he carries this over into the role of the wife in the marriage relationship. Now again, it's very dangerous that someone come in here and they hear just parts of this. So it's incumbent upon me to say a few things for those who may have missed a couple of things. But listen to how he carries it into verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as a church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, if you have certain colored glasses on and you've come from a feminist movement or some kind of male supremacy movement, you will see in there the wrong things. God is not talking about male supremacy or female inferiority. God is talking about equality, yet diversity. He is talking about equality, but difference in roles. That's what he's talking about. And so what I want us to consider, if we would, if you remember way back in a few weeks ago, we just went to Genesis chapter 2, and we showed and revealed to us that God is the one who ordained marriage. I am telling you that marriage is a God issue. It's a God issue, not a man issue. Marriage was designed by God. And when we say, because it's a God issue, we are called to trust God in everything. And one of those One of the something in the midst of everything is marriage. And so if we say that as a Christian, I'm to have faith in God in this area, in that area, one of those areas has to be the issue of marriage, that I believe what God has said about marriage. We can trust God in everything, and I say we can trust God in everything, including the issue of marriage. If you look at it closely, because what you see is that Paul paints a beautiful picture for us. Marriage was designed to be a picture of the relationship, not just any relationship, but a relationship that Christ has with His bride. People ought to be able to look at our marriages and say, what a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ and His relationship to His bride. I mean, after all, when God designed original marriage, you know what He had in mind back in Genesis? What He had in His mind looking forward is the relationship of Christ to His church, even though that hadn't transpired yet. He's looking forward to that time. That's why He calls it a mystery. The mystery is now unfolding in the New Testament. And we see that at the very beginning, and by the way, marriage was at creation, not after the fall. Marriage was at the very beginning, ordained by Him, and He regulates marriage. He creates it. He regulates it. And so we trust God at whatever He says about it. And so when God designed marriage, in the original marriage, He had Christ and the church in mind. And what does that relationship of saint to God look like? What does that relationship of believer, the redeemed, look in regards to His Redeemer? What does it look like? My friends, the relationship looks like a marriage. And it should look like our marriages. Now, I know that's not always the case, right? I've been out with some of you. And it's not always the case. And you've been out with me, and it's not always the case, right? But when we look at this relationship of saint to God, redeemed to Redeemer, what we see is marriage, the beautiful picture of marriage. And what does that look like? It looks like submission, and it looks like love. Because that's what He's doing here. If you would read on in Ephesians, He gives the role of the husband, and He talks about, and this is how He equates everything, that the wife is to submit to the husband as the church submits to who? Christ. You see that picture? And then He says the husbands are to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. That husbands are to love the wife as Christ loved the church. You see the picture? He says, and this mystery is profound, He says in the end of chapter 5 there. And so what we see is this beautiful picture of submission and love. All this headship is done in love. All this submission is like us submitting to Christ, the church submitting to Christ. It comes from creation. It's God's eternal purpose. It's His plan. And if we can trust God in everything, then we can trust God in marriage. Someone has rightly said, it was Ortland that said, if God is good, then we should trust Him and obey Him in everything. If God is not good, then we have to find our way, our own way in everything. But either way, we cannot think piecemeal. Whatever we believe or not believe about God, our attitude toward Him must be all or nothing. Listen to this phenomenal statement. Satan wants God to become nothing to us. Satan wants God to become nothing to us. He knows that if he can destroy devotion to God in our marriages, then the future of the human race is his. Pretty powerful statement there. So it's critical that we believe God when it comes to this issue. Why do I keep emphasizing that? Because culture says something different about marriage. Culture belittles marriage. It defames marriage. It certainly does not see marriage as ordained of God. And it has tried to redefine marriage. And it's been successful in the laws of the land, but never in the eyes of God. Ever. And so what God has said at the very beginning is still today and is normative today in the eyes of God. You say, well, can't we go with the times? Well, you're behind times. My friends, I'm not behind times if I'm standing on God's side. The times are never right if they go away from God's word. So I am saying to you, and I emphasize that because it is high time that we don't cower down to the culture and act like we have nothing to say. We have plenty to say because we come with the verity and the truthfulness of God's word before the culture. Now it's important how we bring that message. It's imperative that we do it in love and mercy and grace, in a non-judgmental spirit, but we still can do that with a thus saith the Lord. Unapologetically. And so what I'm saying to you here, beloved, is that as we look back and he says that we are to submit to one another, he wants us to understand that it carries into the role of the wife to submit to her husband, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, by the way, that's the only way that God has ordained it. It's the only way that God's ordained it. Submission has everything to do with a wife honoring her husband. It has everything to do with honoring her husband's leadership. And she desires to carry that leadership through using the gifts that God has given to her. Submission does not say that we're submitting her will or surrendering her will. But she has a disposition. She desires to follow godly leadership. I want you to think about something here. Because here, God is involved. And I want to ask you some questions, wives. We understand what it doesn't mean, but we'll go over that in just a moment. How do you view your husband? How do you view your husband? Don't answer that. Just hold it in your mind. I always get scared to start asking some of these questions. It doesn't automatically mean that you answer them. What kind of eye do you cast upon him? Do you look at him with a scornful eye? Do you look at him with an eye of contempt? Do you look upon him with an eye of disgrace? Or do you look upon him with an eye of dignity, reverence, respect, worth? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your husband in private? And how do you treat your husband in public? When he's in public or he's around you, does he feel like a man or does he feel like an imbecile? Most of our TV shows today are geared towards the latter. They want to demean the role of the husband and wife altogether. And what you see in a lot of these sitcoms are occurrences where the wife belittles the husband and defames him or dishonors him in some way. And how these questions are answered determine whether or not you're a wife that is fulfilling your God-given role of submission to your husband with respect. Now, it's always easy to say, man, he's hammering on the wives today. But you know, the men have more verses on this than the wives do. So it's coming. But we can't jump all over the place. We've got to keep some kind of order here. It's coming. And what he says about the husband, to love your wives and nourish them and care for them, that is your perpetual ongoing role. We find that when a husband does that, the wife gladly wants to honor and show respect. I never saw this growing up. I didn't have this influence. I'm from a product of a divorced family. It's not my fault. You know, whatever happened. But I never saw this loving nurture care that the husband is to have to the wife. I never saw the submission and a yieldedness of the wife to the husband. So I'm not accustomed to this. And when you come across the Bible and you're not accustomed to this, it's really weird. And especially when you grow up in a culture that tries the feminist movement and then male supremacy movement, you got all that going on in your head, and then you said, "Thus saith the Lord." And it's by God's grace that I submit to this. Because it's easy to go with the culture, right? Unless you're a child of God. It's easy to go with God. But what we see, beloved, is this submission, this equal submission. And let me just mention something, because there is something that is, I don't know if I brought out last week or not, and I think it bears repeating, is that when we talk about, nowhere do you see in the Scriptures that there's a mutual submission. I believe what we see in the Scriptures is the wife is to submit to the husband and not vice versa. Some would say, well, it's a mutual submission. The wife is to submit to the husband, and the husband is to submit to the wife in the same way. Well, the problem with that is that you don't, now you've taken away any God-given authority in the home. So make it clear, beloved. We're not turning and saying, listen, all this submission is about putting me down and trying to be over me and trying to be tyrannical. God has never said that. And if you create that and you keep saying that in your mind, you have misinterpreted the Word of God. Husbands are never told in the New Testament to submit to the wives. You remember that this was a male-dominated society. And if that's the case, you would have to be very clear and very plain and say, men, submit to your wives, because they're not going to get it unless you plainly say it. Paul goes on to tell those in authority how they're to act in love and thoughtfulness and fairness, but he does not tell them to submit to wives, children, or servants. He doesn't have it. The issue, again, as we brought out last week, is not how men can dominate, but how men can nurture those in their care. And men have forsaken this role of nurturing and caring. And women have forsaken their role of just yielding to their husband's leadership and submitting to him and showing respect to him. Every walk of life, we have this submission, authority, and subject role. Every walk of life. I can go to the pharmacy now and I'm under someone's authority. I come here and there are people under my authority, not in a bad way. Automatically people say, well, you're authoritative. No. So every facet of life, you're in some way or another under somebody's authority and subjugated to them. But when he says, wives, submit, he's using that in the middle voice, which said, you voluntarily yield yourself. It is not called for the husband to bring his wife into submission. The Scriptures do not call a husband to dominate and bring his wife into submission. You will submit to me. That's not what the Scriptures teach. This is a voluntary yieldedness to their husband, saying, I respect you, and my disposition of my heart, the inclination of my heart towards you, my love, is to go and to follow you as you lead. And no, I'm not going to agree with every decision you make. And yes, I'm going to tell you that I don't agree with you. It doesn't mean that when it says that she is to submit, that somehow the husband or this verse strips away the voice of the woman, of the wife. It doesn't say that. Because true humility and wisdom of any godly man will say, what do you have to say on this issue? And you've got this going on. You got this, when my wife says, I'm inclined to go this, what in the world do I do? And the husband says, I'm going to go with this because this is what I'm inclined to do. And what does the wife do? I told you not to do it. That's not submission. The wife should come along and said, you know, in your heart and in your mind, said, boy, you're really messing up. you're going in the wrong direction. But the inclination of her heart is to be godly and to say, I'll submit and I'll follow your leadership. And she knows that he's probably going to be wrong. And when he's wrong, he comes back and said, you had that one right the whole time, didn't you? And the wife doesn't say, I told you so. She has a godly response and saying, you know what? You're the leader of this home. But the man's learned a valuable lesson, hasn't he? You see, it's not a slave to a tyrant relationship. As we said, it's a king and queen relationship. And the men don't often feel like kings in their home, because the women don't honor and respect them. Now, I know that goes, there's a lot of practical issues that come in your mind, huh? Yeah, what if my husband's a sorry, no good couch potato? Are you telling me to respect him? Well, that's a different issue for a different day, perhaps, but I bet you can find one good thing in your husband to respect him for. Submission does not mean you give up your will. Submission says that you are willing, you have this disposition to follow him. But how are we to follow him? In what ways are we submit? Now just look at the scriptures, and we're going to go through this very quickly, okay? Look at it very quickly. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Who is the submission to be to? Your own husbands. The word husband literally means man and is never used of the female sex. It's used of an honorable title. Paul was telling the wife to submit to her own man. That's what he says. It's this voluntary deference to her husband as Christ. Remember, as the church submits to Christ. Kenneth Weiss, the Greek scholar, says, speaking of your own, one's own private, peculiar, unique possession, Paul limits the submission of the wife to the one man that God gave her in her life. It doesn't mean that a wife is to submit to everybody else's husband. That's what I'm saying to you. It means that God has given you one man, and you show submission in the sense of understanding the equality and this value, but a different role, saying, I have a deference to go toward your leadership and I will follow you. He's not asking every woman to submit to every man, but he's saying wives ought to submit to their own husband. George McKnight said, Paul is not insisting that every relationship between a man and a woman is one of submission and headship. That's a relief to know, isn't it? And some of you say, I ain't submitting that person. But that where leadership is an ingredient of the situation, as in marriage, that woman should submit to that leadership of the man. Susan Hunt said it this way, every woman is not to submit to every man, but every married woman is to submit to her husband. And it's not a servile groveling. Because she is submitting, it's not a reluctant groveling, a servile groveling, because she is submitting as the church submits to Christ. And that's not bad. That's nothing bad. So your submission to your own husband is to be as the church submits to Christ, which is a great delight, right? It's a great delight to see that. The New Testament calls a Christian husband to enter into his wife's hardships with understanding. Boy, that's difficult. You know it's difficult, isn't it? Because we're fixers. What do men do? We fix things. We try to fix things. We have a heart to fix things. But the New Testament church, or the New Testament Christian man, the husband says, listen, you're to love your wife. You're to go into your wife's life, and you're to have understanding for her hardships. But at the same time, why do you do that? Because you're equal. We've got this idea in our head that the wife is to submit, but the man is just kind of do anything. No, he has a great responsibility, as we'll see. The woman that has been given to you, gentlemen, is your helpmeet, is your equal, a fellow heir of the grace of life. You are to treat her with kindness and love and respect. But the calling of the wife, for her part, is an attitude of a readiness to yield and to support her husband's worthy leadership. Let me just read what Ray Ortland says. I'm afraid we have a lot of this going on today. The opposite of a submissive spirit is an insatiable demandedness, a fault-finding resistance, a tiresome fretfulness, a continual, as he quotes Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a rainy day in a quarrelsome wife or alike. You hear that? No man gets married in order to live under the leaky roof, so to speak, of a nagging, scalding wife. Life at home should never be made into a dripping water torture. A man's home, the place of refuge, must not be yet more the storm he must cope with every day at work, but a Christian wife with a gentle and quiet spirit refreshes her husband's spirit to face the challenge of life again the next day with new determination and confidence. That's quite different than what we see today, isn't it? Because it's so easy to be critical of your husband. But it takes a little more effort. But you know what? It's a delight as we spend time with God. God reminds us of your role to carry out towards your husband. So it's submission to your husband. Submission as unto the Lord. Look what he says. Are you there with me? Hang in there with me. I'm aware. Aware of the time. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to who? The Lord. You have a problem with that? Submission unto the Lord. She recognizes, you remember, she recognizes the command of God. This is a command of God. Shane, you know what? You are submitting to your husband out of a command to God. And when we submit to the commands of God and obey them, it is a delight. Now, if you're not finding delight in honoring your husband and respecting him and submitting to him and his leadership, then there's something wrong with your relationship, perhaps with the Lord. This is not a suggestion. He's not suggesting this. But he says, as to the Lord, it's a sacred, if you could see it like this, it's a sacred act of worship to God. What you will find, women, wives, is that a peaceful and quiet spirit really does please God. The manner of your submission, he says, as unto the Lord. She should submit to the husband as she submits to her Lord. That's what the picture that we have. And so he says, R.C. Sproul is rightly saying it is hard for a wife to submit to her husband when she disagrees with him. But when she knows her submission is an act of obedience to Christ and honors Christ, it is much less difficult, right? But look what else he says. He says that the wives are to submit to their own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, so she should submit as to her own husband as she does as an act of worship to the Lord, because he is the head, we'll talk about that later, and the body, and is himself the Savior. Now, as the church in verse 24 submits to Christ, so also the wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Everything. It means all aspects of life. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that wives ought to follow their husband into sin. Jesus Christ is your Lord. He is first priority. He is preeminent. And if your husband is leading you off in a direction that does not honor God, you be very careful. But make sure that's the case before you just write off and say, well, I'm not going to honor him, because you make sure that it's not pleasing to the Lord first. But he is not saying that you ought to follow your husband into sin. You ought not lie because he says lie. You ought not steal because he said steal. You have an obligation to honor God first and foremost. But it's in every aspect of life that you are submitting to him and his leadership in the finances, in intimacy, in all the different areas. God wants them to function under one head, as one flesh. Doesn't mean absolute authority here. Doesn't mean that he's trying to stifle the thinking and the acting of the woman. But this thinking and this acting is to be shared with her husband. And the husband is to share with her. When you think about it, does the church find its submission to Christ stifling? Then we should say, nor should the submission of the wife to the husband be stifling to the freedom, her freedom. And so this is where we find ourselves. And at the end, we'll close it with this because of time. Look in verse 33. I've got a big old glare in my eye, so that's why I'm pausing. I can't see. I looked up in the light, and I got one eye that I'm seeing out of, so I apologize for that. Verse 33, I guess I just need to close that. And that's my bad contact eye right there. So that's blurry anyway. Verse 33, however, let each of you love his wife as his himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Part of submitting is respecting. That you treat the husband's leadership with deference and regard. It's like respecting the role that he has. It's not necessarily the personal merits of a man, but it's the role that he carries. And when the wife respects her husband, she is saying, I recognize that God has placed you in a position of leadership. And husbands show their leadership, their headship to the wife, as Christ shows his headship to the church. And how is that? Through a love that cherishes and nourishes. Now listen. And the wives show their submission to the husband in a way that the church shows submission to Christ. And how is that? Respectful submission that is rendered voluntarily from the heart. When the people of God submit to Christ, it's not that he's forcing us. It's the desire of our heart to do so. And so it is with the wife. It's the desire of her heart to follow worthy leadership, you know. And so the respect issue addresses her action, what she does, but it also addresses her attitude, how she does it. So she says that my heart embraces, wives, you are saying, I'm committed to this. You are saying that my heart embraces the role that God has given to me, and I'm going to carry it out by the grace of God as he enables me to do so. Do you see why it's important if you're a Christian and you're not married? Do you see why it's important to marry someone who is in the Lord? Just practical reasons altogether. But then there's scriptural reasons to do so. And there are husbands that are not Christians. But the Bible doesn't tell you to go and just beat them over the head and just give them a crash course in Christianity and just force them, this is the way it's going to be. No. The Bible says in a peaceful and quiet spirit, show them the love of Christ. So the first things I say and want to know between couples that I'm fixing to marry is that, hey, where do you stand with the Lord? Because if you're going in this thing unequally yoked, there's a problem right at the very beginning. Marriage is not just for Christians, but Christians are to marry Christians. And so I'm telling you, church, wives, I don't know what to say other than the greatest place to be is right in the will of God. And it doesn't mean you're going to agree with your husband, but you certainly ought to honor him and respect him. It's interesting. The scriptures tell husbands to love their wives, because I think that's what women and wives need more of than anything is love. And it's interesting that it says, wives, respect your husband, because I think that's what husbands need is respect. One of my love language is affirmation. If you want to show me, if my wife wants to show me that she loves me, then affirm me. I don't ever have to have a hug. Hugs are great. Nothing against hugging. I'm a hugger too. I like to hug. I don't have to have a peck on the cheek. I don't have to have gifts. Just affirm me that I'm going in the right direction, that you honor me, that you have some respect. Women, wives, sorry about that. Wives, would you just maybe take a time out today? Honestly, it may be painful for you, but this is submission unto the Lord. You say, you know what? It meant something to me. I'm not saying to lie about that, but hopefully it meant something to you. You go to your husband and said, I love you. I respect you. I've never told you all these years that we've been together, but I'm willing to follow your worthy leadership. I'm willing to follow you as you point me to Christ. Because you know what should happen? I should be making my wife a better Christian. And she should be making me a better Christian. She should make me yearn for Christ. I should make her yearn for Christ. And really, honestly, how much of that is going on in Christian marriages today? Christian marriages don't really look any different than the worldly marriages. And so, wives, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Because you know you got to get in the car now, and your husband's kind of waiting. I wonder if she's going to do it. It's an awkward feeling, isn't it? And I'm not going to ask if you did it. I will be curious if you did it, but I'm not going to ask. It's not for me to know. I'll get somebody else to ask and find out for me. Hey, let's take this thing serious. I don't care how long you've been married. God has said we have something to say about marriage. Wives, honor your husbands. Because if you honor him and respect him, it's a lot easier for him to love you when he knows that you respect him. And I know he's done things in his life that doesn't deserve respect, but you're willing to yield to that. And for some weird way, I don't know if God uses it this way, but I like to think he does, is that when you show the respect and the submission, he's under that weight of responsibility to carry out his role as husband. Let's pray.